Well, good morning, campers. How are you today?
Good morning.
Okay, we're going to have to be a little bit more expressive. There's like 42 of us in the room. Okay, so let's try this. If you're an introvert, I'm going to give you your line today, okay? If you're an introvert, here's your line. If you hear something you like, your response is this. Okay, practice that, all right, everybody? All right? If you're a little bit more of an extrovert, your response is amen, all right? Let's try that. One, two, three. And if you're an extreme extrovert, your response is this. I know that's right, okay? On three. One, two, three.
I know that's right.
There you go. You got that. Thank you. Now I feel a little bit more like at home in the youth room. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Roger reminded us that this time of year we're to receive our King and to live as kingdom people. Last week, if you were here, little kids did an awesome job at reminding us to prepare room for Jesus at this time of year. And this week, we're going to talk about this thing called truth and grace. But before I do that, I want to play just a little game, okay? I'm the youth pastor, so I like to play games. So I want to kind of understand who's in the room this morning. And this game is called Would You Rather, all right? So you're going to respond, would you rather? The first one, for example, would you rather open your presents on Christmas Eve or open your presents on Christmas Day, okay? If you're a Christmas Eve person, stand up. All right, okay, we got a few in the room, all right. Everybody else is Christmas Day, got it, all right. If you would rather shovel snow or mow the lawn, okay? If you'd rather shovel snow, stand up. Let's see who's our snow. It's kind of the same crowd. I'm catching a theme, all right? Thank you. If you would rather have the elf on the shelf come alive or have Santa really see you when you're sleeping, all right? If you'd rather have the elf on the shelf come alive, stand up. Good. The rest of you are creepy, okay? All right. If you would rather celebrate Christmas or celebrate your birthday, if you'd rather celebrate Christmas, stand up. Where are my Christmas people at? All right. Okay. All right. Have a sit down. All you birthday people are selfish. It's all about me. Me. If you'd rather have someone be gracious with you, or would you rather have someone be really truthful? Well, that's a tough one. I'm not going to make a stand on that one. Because if we're honest, it depends, doesn't it? It depends on the situation, the person, the context, the circumstances. See, some of you are truth people, right? That's your battle cry. Right is right. It's all about the truth. And some of you are grace people, right? Your battle cry is one more chance. Right is right, and one more chance. And that is why he came with truth and grace. But we'll dig a little deeper into that as we go through this morning. Now, I know some of you are going to have to take this on faith, but I was a bit of a rebel in high school. I know, it's hard to believe. And I still kind of am. I was a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll, all right. I was a little bit Jesus and a little bit Jerry Garcia, right? Yeah. I was a little bit Jimmy Buffett and a little bit Third Day, a little bit Roger and a little bit Jeff, you know, kind of a little bit White Castle and a little bit Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Now, have you ever been to the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse? Yeah, that's a good piece of meat, done compared to the White Castle, but a little bit of both. So I have this tension in me. So when Paul wrote this in Romans, I get it. It was probably the first verse in the Bible that really stood out or made sense to me. Paul wrote this in Romans 7, 15 through 20. I do not understand why I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's the sin that lives inside me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I want to do what I want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin nature living in me. See, some of you out there are rule followers. God bless you. Like my wife, she is a good rule follower. She's a great balance for me. And some of you out there are rule breakers, or at least rule benders. You like to take the rule and see how far you can bend it. And God help you, because you're a lot like me. And I think I'm a good balance for her. I love the way my one of my pastors out in Colorado says this. Scott Nickel says it like this, gives us this illustration. When you come to a complete stop at a stop sign, you do not come to that complete stop saying, the reason I'm coming to this full and complete stop is to honor the men and women who have spent hours writing legislation in order for us to deliver a full and comprehensive legal system so that truth and justice will govern our fair society. God bless America, and now I'm going to come to a full and complete stop. That's not what you do, right? You come to a complete stop because you don't want to get a ticket, right? That's why you come to the stop, because there is no relationship with the law givers. And here's the reality. If we look at this Romans passage, here's the reality. What we learn in this is none of us can live up to the standard of God, so we live in this tension. We live in this tension, and some of us work and work and work and work and work and work and work, thinking that the more good ticks we have in our box will outweigh the bad ticks we have in our box, and that puts us back up under this law or these rules or these regulations. So hear this scripture in Romans 3:20, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. You see what truth does? What truth does is it points out to the law that it reminds us that we are conscious of our sin. So let's stay there for a second. Truth. Truth and grace. It's not just about truth. It's about grace, but we'll get to that in a minute. So for those of you who are all about truth, right, it's right, that's your battle cry. We'll start with you. Back to Romans 3:20. What the law does is it points out very clearly that we are lawbreakers. However, we are no longer up under the law. So here's the paradox that we live with. The law is truth. Now, if the law is truth and we are lawbreakers, then there has to be a compensation or a retribution to pay for the fine or the laws that we have broken. Romans 5, 6, and 8. You see, just at the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone would possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still what? Sinners. Christ died for who? Us. And that is true. See, there had to be a retribution or a payment or a compensation for the laws, for the sin that we have broken. And God took care of that God's self. Now, history lesson. The first five books of the Old Testament are called the, anybody know? Pentateuch, good. And in the Pentateuch contains the law, which is also known as the Torah, okay? So the Torah comes from the Pentateuch. This will make sense here in a minute. Now, the Jews who were knowledgeable in the Torah would call the Torah the Daba, okay? Daba. Turn to your neighbor and say that on three. One, two, three. Daba. Now, this word Daba is the word word, or in Greek, it's the word logos. So see this John chapter 1 that Shay read for us just a little bit ago. In the beginning was the word, the logos, or in Hebrew, the Daba. And the word, the logos, the Daba, was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has ever been made. In him was life, and life was the light of all mankind, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, did you see what John did in the passage? This is my favorite version of the Christmas story, by the way. John 1, 1 through 18, my favorite version of the Christmas story. In the beginning was the Torah, the word, the logos, the Daba. In the beginning was the law. And the Torah, the law, the word, the logos, the Daba, was with God. And the Torah was God. Now, in verse 2, he changes the pronoun from the to he. The becomes a he. The Torah, the law, becomes he. When John uses the Greek word logos, it had a rich association for the Jews. To a Jew, logos was the word by which God spoke the world into existence, by which he guided the prophets, by which he delivered his people. John's use of the word would catch their attention. It would grasp them. In the mind of the ancient Jews, the phrase word of God was used to refer to God himself. To them, it was the same as saying, God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Daba and the Logos is found in Jesus, who is truth. Another example, and I've used this one before, is Jesus says this, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life, right? And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, a first century Hebrew would know that they used to refer to the Torah as the way, the truth, and the life. So when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, what he is saying is, I am the law. I am the law. I am Torah. I am that lived out in front of you so you can see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears and watch life as I do it so you'll know how to live with each other. He rules the world with truth. Remember, the law didn't change, right? Jesus did not come to abolish the law because it would mean, if he came to abolish it, it would mean that part of the law was not truth. So he came to fulfill it, and he is the fulfillment of the truth. However, you wouldn't want a king who was just all about the truth, would you? If you read the Old Testament, you wouldn't want a king who was just about the truth, because I've read the Old Testament, and pretty much for every crime you commit, they kill you. So if you had a king who was all about truth, most of us would be dead. Really, a lot of times, the only thing they put you in prison for was dead. So he rules the world with truth, but he also rules the world with grace. So back to John 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Have you ever been to a party and you walked in and you didn't recognize anybody there? Has that ever happened to you? Really awkward, and especially you introverts, right? It's a tough place to be. You don't know how to do that. Have you ever thrown a party at your house and had everybody there not recognize you? That would be a little awkward, wouldn't it? He came into the world, and what does the Bible say? And the world didn't recognize him. It's kind of like you throwing a party at your house and nobody recognizing you. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Receive your king, prepare him room, for here is the first part of grace. When no one else wanted you, God did. You ever been rejected? Ever been dumped? She walked out. He didn't come home. Your family doesn't come to your side of the family's house for Thanksgiving. Your dad never said, I love you. Your boss has never appreciated your work. Your child left home at 18 or maybe before. That ever happened to you? Let me say, you are more than the sum of your genetic code. You are adopted by a God who is your father and loves you unconditionally. All the other stuff of this world is conditional love. He shows us unconditional love. And if that isn't enough, John goes on in 14 and says, the word became flesh, the logos, the daba, the Torah became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testifying concerning him, he cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. That's how we become conscious of our sin. But grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. but the only one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Did you see it? Truth and grace. There's a law which points out that we are conscious of our sin, and then we have Jesus who pays the price for our disobedience to the law. But we put ourselves under the performance law all the time, right? Quiet time, check. Read my Bible, check. You showed up today and it was snowing, triple check, right? You do that. You rang bells, you were a ding-a-ling for the Salvation Army, right? Double check. You organized the books in my office. That's a direct ticket to heaven. Or we do it the other way. I don't smoke, unless you're from Colorado. Sorry. Some of you can Google that later if you didn't get it. I don't cuss, well, rarely, right? Except when you're driving and stuff like this, yeah? I don't drink, well, not that much or not that often. Oh, I never let anger get control of me, right? Or I don't lie, yeah, you just did, right? So we do that. So we have these two lists. Well, here's all my good things, and here's the things I don't do, and we just hope that the good ticks outweigh the bad ticks, and we live our lives that way. And he came with grace and truth to take care of both of those columns. Both of those columns. So for some of you today, would you start living like you're free? Because you're free. He came with grace and truth to free you, to become conscious of your sin, to give you grace, but also to give you truth to help you live a better life. So we don't keep tripping ourselves up over the same things over and over and over again. See, the reality is you can't live the Christian life. Now, if I leave that statement right there, it's troubling. But the reality is you can't live the Christian life. All you can do is surrender to the Holy Spirit who lives the life through you. See, you can't, but he can. You won't, but he will. You're weak, but he's strong. You're sinful, but he is holy. And that is grace. In your can't, in your won't, in your weakness, in your sinfulness, he steps in and says, I've already paid the price for that. I've already paid the price. Do you believe me? I've already paid the price for that. Do you believe him? He's paid the price. He bought your sin back. He redeemed you. He ransomed you. He called you back. When no one else wanted you, God adopted you back into his family. And if that's not worth celebrating this Christmas season, I don't know what is. When no one else wanted you, while you were still a sinner, God sent his only son to die for you. He came full of grace and truth. Albert Tate tells this story. I'm going to close with this. There are two friends, and they walk into a museum in New York City. And there's this painting of an actual professional chess game. And it captivates them. Maybe some of you have seen the painting, or maybe some of you have heard this story. But the one friend is more captivated by this chess painting than the other one, because he's an actual professional chess player. And he's studying the chess game. And the caption under the painting simply says this, checkmate, which is chess terminology for the game is over, right? You lose. He's studying and he's analyzing the board. And as he looks at the painting, the other friend starts moving around, checking out the other pieces of art and sculptures in the building. And after a while, the one man who is a professional chess painter has not moved his eyes staring at this painting. He's captivated by it. He can't take his eyes off it. And his friend keeps moving around and trying to look at art, and he's kind of bored, and he finally goes up to his friend and says, bro, I'm hungry. Let's get out of here. Let's go get us some Krispy Kreme donuts. If you had the Krispy Kreme donut, I get why he'd want to leave an art museum to go get him some Krispy Kreme donuts. The other guy looks at his friend and he says, I can't go yet. And he keeps studying and analyzing this painting. He says, come on, bro, I'm hungry. Let's go. Let's get out of here. I've seen everything in here. Let's go. Let's get out of here. He says, have you seen this painting? He said, yes, it's chess. It's so boring. Why are you staring at this painting of a chess game? It says checkmate. He says, no, have you looked at it? If you look at it, it says checkmate, but the painting is wrong. And his brother, and the guy, his friend says, the painting's wrong. The painting can't be wrong. How is the painting wrong? He says, if you look at the painting is wrong. The painting can't be wrong. The painting is wrong. No, look, if you look closely, the painting is called checkmate, which means the game is over. But if you look closely, it looked really, really close. The king still has one more move left. And as long as the king still has one more move, it means the game cannot be over. The painting is wrong. And church, I've come to tell you that grace and truth is this, that the king is still on the throne. And the king still has one more move to make. He's still moving in your marriage. He's still moving in your life. He's still moving in your family. He's still moving in your work. He's still moving in your heart. And you ought to give a king like this, full of grace and truth, glory, because he's not done yet. The king is still moving. There is joy to the world, for the king still has one more move to make. The game is not over. He is not over. He is just beginning to move in your life. So would you stand to your feet and give joy to this king? The king is still moving. There's one more move to make. He's still on the throne. There is joy to the world.
Oh, our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not think you won't grow weary. You're the
He's got one more move to make in your life. Amen. Now go let him move through you this week.